Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being here today on the podcast. We always appreciate you tuning in and being a part of teaching, whether it's a leadership lesson or whether it is the sermons that we post. Regardless, we pray that you're blessed by what we share with you. And today, I am going to share some things. You know, October is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and the ministry here, they just took a day to honor and celebrate me, and this past Sunday, and I appreciated and enjoy it so much. And today, some of the things I'm going to share with you is going to focus in on that, because I believe it is so important. Maybe your church that you attend didn't plan something, but if they didn't, that nothing says you can't get a card or take your pastor to dinner, or just give them a small gift of something, just as a way of you showing your appreciation and your love and your support for them. I believe it's really important. And so I want to encourage you to do that first and foremost. If you haven't, be sure to honor them and celebrate them. The Bible says that that they are worthy of double honor. You need to understand today that your pastors and those that serve in leadership, they need your encouragement, they need your prayers, they need your support. And take the time just to let them know that you love them and you appreciate them and that you're standing with them. And I know that they will be blessed by it. Today I want to share with you, I think, a few things with you that I'm going to just say that there are ways to serve your pastor well. Whether you attend or you're in leadership or you volunteer at your church, or no matter what your role is, I think there's some important things that we need to keep in mind to serve our pastors well. To know that, you know, sometimes we can sit back in the pews and in our chairs and we can observe things and we think, oh, they should do this, or I wonder why nobody did this, or why did they decorate that way, or why do they have the dinner set up this way, or... And it's easy to be critical when you sit back and observe and you're not really participating. And so the first thing I want to just challenge you with that I would say to you is, don't just be a spectator, be a participator. If you really want your pastor to be able to flow in the anointing of God and within the giftings that God has given them, then be a participator, not just a spectator. I think that's very important. But I hadn't actually planned on saying that to you, but I definitely do want to dive into these today with you. The first point I'll make is, don't go around him. All right, him or her. Don't go around them. You know, think of it this way. What do I mean by that is, there's a phrase, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Some of you have probably heard that. Yeah, that phrase should really never enter your mind when you're thinking about your pastor. It's always, absolutely always better to ask for their permission first. Don't ever let that first enter your mind that, oh, I can ask for forgiveness rather than permission. It's really, I think, important that if you're serving in some capacity or you're volunteering, you know, we all need parameters. We sort of need to know, okay, you want me to do this? Well, what's the focus? Never try to just go on and do something without first getting the clarity that you need for you to be successful in whatever the endeavor that you're doing is. And so I believe in any capacity, don't try to go around them. But, you know, sometimes we'll try to go around the pastor and not, instead of working with them or going to them, we'll try to just work around them. And I think that just creates a whole lot of other problems. And this very first one I could go into a lot of depth with, and I don't want to, because I want to try to keep it simple for this podcast. I really just believe it's really imperative and biblical that we don't go around them, but that we go to them and we work with them, and we get the permissions, we get the parameters of what it is that what they're envisioning that they've asked us to be a part of. Number two, I would say, don't go against them. You know, because your pastor needs your support. They need your help. They need your encouragement. And if you disagree with them, then have a conversation with them and ask questions. I really believe that pastors would be much happier having a conversation and answering some questions and concerns, rather than dealing with just flat out opposition. So many times we may disagree, or we may see things differently, or we can disagree with a decision, but rather than going to them, we sort of operate in this undercover operation of opposition. And it really creates an undercurrent in our churches. And many of us, probably, if you're listening, you've seen it, or you've been a part of it, or you've seen the effects of it in our churches. You need to be able to have the integrity enough to be able to sit down and look at someone and say that you disagree, or at least ask questions before you just flat out say you disagree. Say, I wanted to ask you about, and get the details before you just operate in a way of opposition for them. There's a lot of, and of course I'm saying this as a pastor, but there's a lot of opposition, there's a lot of warfare, there's a lot of things that pastors deal with anyway. You need to understand that, you know, at any given time, pastors are dealing with multiple people who are angry at them or upset with them, or they're dealing with problems and crises, not just of their own, but of those that they're leading. They're trying to manage staff, they're trying to lead people, they're planning out for the weeks ahead, they're planning with events, and they're in meetings, and there's always a thousand things going on in their minds. And the last thing they need is to have some kind of undercover, underground operation of opposition going on in the church, because you choose to sit there and disagree and be a spectator rather than a participator. If you disagree, I found that sometimes people disagree with me, but I had to make a decision based on the help that I had at that time, or I have to make a decision based on the resources that we have at that time at our disposal. And people will disagree, and when I make it clear, like, the decision was made because of A, B, and C, like, oh, well, you know, if I would have known, I would have helped, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, didn't you pay attention to the announcements, or didn't you hear this? And, you know, and so sometimes it's just a miscommunication. Sometimes it's, you know, that we didn't hear the details, or that sometimes it's just helpful if we find out, where one another's coming from. So I said, don't go around them, don't go against them, and number three, don't surprise them. Don't surprise your pastor. You know, it took me some time myself to really realize, even just as I got into ministry, but before I did, just to realize that my pastors didn't like to be surprised on Sunday mornings. You know, I grew up in the church and my parents were in ministry, but, you know, I really try to encourage people in our leadership and people that I raise up in ministry that you know, talk to me throughout the week. You know, as soon as I know what direction I'm going in on Sunday morning, you'll know. And for people who are leading song service or help with the service itself, or connected in children's ministry or whatever areas, you know, so many times that we just surprise the pastor with randomness on a Sunday morning. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we'll surprise a pastor with news or something we're going to do in a service or some kind of special announcement, and the pastor will say, "Oh, okay, that's great," you know. But many times they're thinking, "I'd rather you not." But in order to avoid an issue or a problem right before church, they're just saying, oh, okay, sure. And what we have to understand is that service, when we get together, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, whatever night you all do services, it's about planning, and it's about executing it with excellence. And the last thing that the pastor needs when they're getting ready to bring forth the word and lead people into worship and to draw on the anointing and the power and the power of the Holy Spirit are just natural surprises. I think it's really important that the support system of the pastor operate with a certain amount of excellence, that there's no surprises, that you, if you're leading the worship, that you're prepared in advance for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And if you want to link those songs up with the Word, and you want to verify how the pastor wants to close things out, that there should be real no surprises. And I say this to my leadership and our staff and armor bearers here, that, you know, don't come to me with problems, or don't come to me and to make decisions before a service. I don't like to be bugged personally before or after a service with those things. You know, when I'm done, the anointing has been under the anointing and preaching under the anointing, and it's somewhat exhausting. I like to be able to just focus on the task at hand and leave and deal with church business, decisions and details and organizing and all that through the week when I'm in the office. That's what office hours are for, organizing. So don't surprise them with the minute, insignificant things when there's the greater responsibility of bringing the Word. Number four, don't be high maintenance. You know, your pastor has enough high maintenance people in their congregation. Don't join the ranks of those. You know, do your job and do it well. Do it faithfully. Do it humbly. Do it trustworthy. And your pastor will love you for it. You know, pastors need people to know that they can depend on, that you're not necessarily needy all the time, that you're not one of those high maintenance people, especially if you're in a leadership position. You know, number five, I would say, and it kind of links up with something I've said already, don't go outside your parameters. You know, ask and learn what your parameters are. If you're uncertain about what sort of boundaries or what your expectations are. You know, when people serve in any capacity in our leadership, they get sort of a breakdown, an outline of what's expected of them, the things that they're responsible for, the people they're responsible for, which gives them a guide to know that there are certain decisions that are within their realm. And then if things fall outside of that, or if they have questions, then they can come to me. But it's really important for you to find out what are your parameters. Stay inside those parameters. You know, that your parameters are sort of your safety zone. And if you haven't had that conversation with your pastor, you need to. Then you take some leadership initiative and say, hey, I wanted to talk to you about some leadership parameters that you might have for me. And that's for the protection of your pastor as much as it is you. And I think that's just protecting and honoring the anointing and the authority that each of us are given in the body of Christ. And the next thing I want to say about that is initiate things. I would even call this number six. Initiate things inside those parameters. You know, be an initiator. If you know what your parameters are, if you know what those boundaries are, and you know where you have your pastor's support, then just get on with initiating things. You know, your pastor will be delighted to see you taking charge and will be grateful for your energy. You know, if you're dealing with children's ministry or women's ministry or prison or benevolence or music or greeting, whatever it may be, then be an initiator. Once you have those parameters, then you know within the guide and the realm of where you need to take leadership ability and have some initiative. So maybe you're in charge of your welcome teams or your greeters, you know, and you say, not everyone sort of does it the same, but there needs to be a consistency. Then take upon your initiative, if it's within your parameters, and say, you know, everyone who's greeting, everyone who's welcome on the welcome team, we're gonna have a training, and here's the date and time, and here's what we're gonna go over, and you know, just take some initiative within those realms of parameters. I think that's really important, because you are supporting the mission and vision of your church by doing that. You know, in whatever capacity you may serve, it's important that we have initiative and we take initiative. You know, number seven, I would say, help, you know, you can help your pastor preach his message. You know, especially if you're doing worship, take time to find out what they're going to be preaching on, and do your best to support the preaching of the Word by the songs you choose. You know, a worship leader who ignores his pastor will most likely be ignored by his pastor. You know, and that's true. You need to work with, flow with, communicate with your pastor if you're leading worship. And then that one there is more specific to those who are leading worship or playing instruments. But I think it's important to know these are areas where you and I can serve our pastor well, and it's important that we do. Number eight, I would say, I'm trying to move through them quickly for you. Number eight, I would say, run your ministry in such a way that gets people involved. You know, what do I mean? Your pastor hears from people all the time who aren't happy because they can't get plugged in, but you need to be responsible for it. And whatever your area that you volunteer or help or are on staff, you're responsible to plug people in. You know, have, whether that means having people to your house or have worship team dinners or build community or have a welcome team dinner or whatever area that you're leading and that you're a part of, you know, those things are good for the church. It's good for the pastor to see you getting people involved, and they'll be grateful for it. You know, so you need to take some initiative to get people plugged in. So many times people just sort of attend, and statistically, if we don't get people plugged into things within the first few weeks, they'll eventually fade out of church. And so you need to take some initiative and not rely on just the pastor or the pastoral staff to get people plugged in and volunteering and helping in some capacity. The next one I would say is be organized. Be organized. You know, it is hard for your pastor to trust you with more responsibility if you can't keep things organized. All right. Whatever capacity that you volunteer or help or assist or whatever it is that you do, be organized with it. Plan ahead. Have things planned out, written down, organized. Know what you're going to do, when, how. Make sure that your teams are organized. Those that are volunteering with you, communicate with them and ask them, you know, to be sure that they stay organized. Because I've learned this, however you lead, that will flow down. If you are unorganized, they're going to be. If you lead chaotically, those that lead with you are going to be chaotically. All right. The next one I would say is keep track of the history. You know, think of things like this. You know, what times were your Christmas services last year? What about the year before? What did we do about communion? Or did we celebrate Pentecost Sunday? Those sort of questions come up in meetings, and if you can answer them, you begin to show and demonstrate that you're valuable in more ways than just, you know, leading music or just doing this or just doing one area. You need to really kind of keep an idea of the rotating calendar that your church has. Every church sort of has some traditions. You know, our church every year does a Christmas gala, and that should be something that's on the calendar all year long and just ready. You know, we shouldn't wait until the last few weeks of the year to plan it. And whatever it is, you need to be able to keep track of the history. Know what happens regularly at your church. Know if your church does some type of revival that happens every year of the same week, then know that. Have that written down, that it's always the second week of October or whatever that might be. Keep track of the history. Stay organized, because that will also help you in your planning of your events and help you to work within your parameters, and that we don't overbook the church and get everyone or a certain group too busy. You know, the next one I would say is do your part as well as you can. You know, whatever it is you're doing, prepare, rehearse. If you're leading worship on Sunday mornings, prepare and rehearse in such a way that helps people see the Savior Jesus Christ in what you're doing. You know, work on all things. If you're the worship leader, work on the transitions. Work on the way that you want to lead into prayer. Help make Sunday morning worship run well and well-led and well-received for everyone who attends. If it's children's ministry, if it's greeting, whatever part you play, if you're cleaning the church, clean and clean well. Make sure that every part of that church is getting cleaned throughout the weeks. That you may focus on certain areas, but make sure everything is getting done. You know, do it and do it with excellence. Do your part as well as you can. That's the one. And the last one that I'm going to have for you today is pray for them. Pray for your pastor. You know, whether you're a worship leader, a greeter, an elder, a trustee, a pastor, underneath your senior pastor, you know, there's nothing more important than you praying for your pastor. You know, and it's really important that your pastor sees that you're praying and you want what's best for your church, but you want what's best for them as well. You know, because I believe that a church is best served by unified leadership. Absolutely. A church is best served by unified leadership. So pursue unity with your pastor and pursue it prayerfully. And I really believe that whatever capacity that you help in your church, all right, it will be more effective. Whether you're teaching the children or greeting or working in the parking lot or cleaning or serving on the platform or just serving as an armor bearer, whatever it may be, you and your church will be more effective for it. I really believe that. There's a lot of things that I could share about how to serve your pastor well. But these are just a few that I wanted to choose and quickly give to you in 20 or so minutes because of it being Pastor's Appreciation Month. That these are things that we don't just do this month. These are just things that we should be doing to help us be a better leader, to help our pastor be a better leader, to help us keep our ministries, our churches more effective. And so I wanted to choose those few things to share with you that they would be a blessing to you and a help to you and maybe just provoke some additional thought on your behalf, to provoke you to be a better leader, to sit down and have a meeting maybe and just find out specifically what's expected of you and how you can lead better and how you can be more effective and more efficient and maybe, you know, how the pastor best prefers to communicate. Is it in person? Is it through email? Is it a text? You know, because there's so many means of communication between Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and texting and phone calls and email that it can be overwhelming. But what is the method of communication that they prefer? How do they want to resolve and get details out? You know, sometimes it's just you don't realize sometimes how much you might be helping them just by bringing that up. Because it's very overwhelming when you come in to sit down and look at emails and then you realize, oh, I haven't checked Facebook and I haven't checked Instagram and what about Twitter and, oh, what about the live stream yesterday? Were there any comments? Were there any prayer requests? And so sometimes it's just worth saying, how would you prefer to communicate in the office and outside of the office? You don't realize what a weight that can lift off of a pastor as they lead and they have people pulling on them in all kinds of directions. So this is a podcast for you about how to serve your pastor well. And I hope it's a blessing to you in some capacity. We'll go into some depths of things next time, but I really just wanted to share it with you and get you thinking and focusing your attention on honoring the men and women of God who serve and labor among us and work for the kingdom of God. It's imperative and very, very important. Friends, I love you. We appreciate you so much for being a part of our podcast and listening and being a part of what God's doing here at the church. I pray that we want to pray for you, and I encourage you, as always, if we can pray for you, call us or go visit our website at freshfirechurch.net. Send us your prayer request. Even while you're there, you can sow a special seed just to give and bless and help us continue to do all that we do to help our community and reach around the world right here from Fresh Fire Church. And you can do all of that at freshfirechurch.net. Friends, we love you. We appreciate you. Look forward to speaking with you next time here on the podcast. And until then, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.